time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Polly and Bruce Marshall today, South Point, three shows left, counting it down, oddstrader.com. Winners are made here. They do the hard work for you. Who's going to be the winner? All handicapping tools in one place, free service, dedicated to helping sports fans beat the books. Sign up for an account today, real-time bet tracking, live in-game odds and stats, in-game tracking tools, compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. Visit oddstrader.com. The GOAT's Nigel Seeley, but Bruce is also pretty good at soccer. We'll talk soccer in half an hour, rapid-fire picks. We'll get to Survivor and top-bottom in 25 minutes, and we'll get some good stuff with props in the NFL as well. And then Adam Chertoff coming up in 5 minutes. Chuck Edel, too, 6-1 last week, still coming up, and then UFC. Still looking. Joe Osborne has this tweet, too. Odd Shark. The Chiefs are 17-4 ATS last 21 road division games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, their numbers have been awfully good. And we know that recent one is at 13-2, what, the last 15 overall.
Uh-huh.
No, they're on quite a roll. And a lot of that's against Denver, some of this stuff that they've been doing in recent years, at least the last year. But 17-4, that's exceptional.
All right. I like Green Bay. And it didn't work out for me last week. It seems that my games either win by 20 points or lose by 20 points here lately. So it was a strange game. It's 10-0 right away. Then Rodgers with the pick six, and then they get run out, and Tampa put a lot of heat on them, and they couldn't run the ball, and a great job by the Bucs and Arians. So here they're laying 3.5 on the road against Houston. Houston's given up 440 yards per game. They're allowing 177 rushing yards a game. This has got get well game written all over it. Not to mention, Green Bay has covered 10 in a row ATS off a loss.
Yeah, that's the one that you would look at here for Green Bay, I think. And that total is up there high. But I actually think these teams might be able to get over it. Here's one thing I would watch with Houston, though. I mean, they are playing, they like Romeo Crennel. I don't care what you can't have liked O'Brien that much. They're going to play hard for Romeo. I know that was snatching defeat from the jaws of victory last week.
Did you like the move? Or you hate the move? What'd you think of going for two to put it on nine?
I agreed.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah, he was proven right because how bad the defense was.
Right. Yep. I mean, Vrabel did that against the Patriots, remember, in the playoff game last year. And it missed, but it didn't end up hurting him. Don't forget, 2 years ago, Texans ran off 9 straight wins after they started 0-3. And that was Deshaun Watson on fire. He looks like he has picked up the pace here. I'm not sure Romeo's the reason, but his numbers the past couple of weeks are really good. I am still not quite buying Green Bay. I was for a while, and that dueled me into reality. I'm not sure about the Packers here and the whole thing with the Rodgers. We'll see. I think this could be a dangerous game. And I know the Packers off a loss have been good, but I sort of like this look I'm seeing in Deshaun Watson's eyes. He didn't have a chance to pull that game out last week. And he got the ball first in overtime. I think Texans would have won that game. So we'll see.
Well, Green Bay has issues defensively.
Yep.
But I hear what you're saying about Romeo and they didn't like O'Brien. I want to see how this plays in the locker room now with the defense, which is awful to begin with. And then it's, well, I don't trust you. You're no good. I'm going for two to put it on nine. And then you give up 42 points. I mean, Tannehill has a hell of a quarterback, and he's having a big year. But you give up 42 points, 600 yards, and 200 rushing yards to Henry. And here comes Rodgers in a foul mood.
That's supposed to be Romeo's defense, too. So, it's not quite the same this year for the Texans. But
then they ask guys, what'd you think of the move? No comment. J.J. Watt, that's above my pay grade and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's an awkward situation there for sure. We'll see what happens after the season.
The trend on Carolina again, 14-1 to the over on the road against a team averaging more than 27 a game. New Orleans scores 30 a game. They give up 30 a game. 7-2 last 9 against Carolina. I am concerned about the slow starts and the comebacks, though, Bruce, aren't you? Follow the Money, by the way. Paulie and Bruce Marshall. We're talking NFL. Adam Chernoff coming up. They're down 14 against Detroit. Then they had 5 straight touchdown drives. They're down 17 Monday night against the Chargers. Teddy is an ATS machine. He had a horrible game last week, no doubt. But I think this is a get-well game for the Carolina offense. Check the status of Thomas. Kamara's averaging 4.5 yards per carry as well. I see a lot of points in this game, but is this too much? Is this too many points with the Saints?
I think it is too many points, and Teddy's against his old team here, and the Panthers have been very, very impressive. And by the way, so is Matt Rhule. What do you think Jerry is thinking right now in Dallas?
Oh, God.
He said, he's looking around.
Wasn't it the Jets, too?
Didn't the Jets, weren't the Jets going to, was it the Jets or the Giants? Someone was going to hire him.
The Giants, I think, yeah.
But he wasn't allowed to pick his assistants or something? I mean, come on.
I mean, and Jerry's got to be thinking, this guy was 90 miles down the road here in Waco, and I think he is the next big thing, next great. I mean, what he's done is remarkable there with the Panthers, and bringing in Joe Brady and Phil Snow with him. I mean, this staff, the coordinators and the coach, they were in the Big 12 in the SEC last year. They've been very good in the NFL thus far. Yeah, I mean, the Saints have not been, they have not had a great record laying points at home lately, and they're going to let a few thousand people in there.
Yes, and 3,000, I believe, right?
Yeah, yep. And then they may be moving to Baton Rouge in November, so we'll see.
Is that going to happen? You talked to Jimmy Ott?
I'll talk to him this morning, and we'll see. We'll see what goes. Ooh. But they were talking about they wouldn't be able to do that until mid-November if they did it. They can get more outside there. You can get more people into Baton Rouge, so they're thinking about 3,000 is not going to be much in the Superdome. That's a big place, so we'll see.
How about Dallas and Washington? McCarthy is 13-20-1. Last 34 as a head coach.
Yeah.
Four turnovers against Arizona. Martin left with a concussion. Check his status. Dallas has the worst turnover margin in the league. Opponents have 84 points off their turnovers. They're giving up 36 a game, this defense. That doesn't help. How about this? The defense has surrendered points on 13 of the 15 drives following a turnover.
Yeah.
So they always say in baseball, you know, you pick your guy up, your fielder, if he makes an error, if you're the 13 of the 15 drives following a turnover, they've allowed points.
I think this could be a one-year deal for McCarthy.
Oh, and, beautiful.
And I know they've got excuses with injuries, but no. I mean, like we mentioned, Denver's got injuries too. A lot of it's the way they're playing. It's the sloppiness. It's the minus 12 turnovers you mentioned. It's the defense not showing up at all. Don't forget, I mean, Green Bay turned into a dumpster fire when he left there. You know, maybe he's just lost the touch. It's just not working. Dak, I mean, that might be giving the mulligan to get another year, but Jerry is not that patient, and he cannot be happy with the way this is going. I mean, they lose this game this week. Whew. I mean, we'll see.
That's a pick-em. How about the info? How about the comments?
Yeah.
The anonymous comments to Gene Slater. These guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't coach. They can't make adjustments.
Yeah. Oh. And, you know, and Zeke's mind doesn't look in it. You know, I mean, he's having fumble problems like he normally has. I mean, the whole thing is just unraveling there. But look at them. I mean, they can win this game. They'll be back in first place in that lousy division. Yeah. We'll see.
Here he comes every Friday. Adam Chernoff, great job. Listen to his podcast, A Simple Handicap. He knows how to break down an NFL game like nobody's business. Great job last week. Phenomenal call on Pittsburgh. You were concerned about Mayfield, and he was atrocious. And a nice call, too, on the Sunday night game with the 49ers. How you doing, pal?
Doing well. How are you guys?
All right. Good. Excellent. And did anything surprise you last week? And did you adjust some of your power ratings based on anything that happened last week?
I would say the Cowboys' ineptitude that continued to sort of plague them, as you guys were just talking about, surprised me. I thought that they were going to look a whole lot better than they did on Monday night in a game against a defense I thought set up very well for them. But that was just a comedy of errors that continued to compound against the Cowboys. And like you said, the big thing there, the turnovers, and how Arizona, like Kyler Murray, completed 9 passes in that game, and still that game was never even competitive. So that was a big surprise to me. Other than that, not too much stood out from the week, but I think we've saw sort of the obvious adjustment made up in favor of the San Francisco 49ers after that win against the Rams, as that number against the Patriots has come way down from where it opened. So that was the other big one that stood out for sure.
Okay. Did you play anything early in the week that's moved?
I've played a couple different games, but really not any that I could really offer too much value from sharing, just as some of those numbers have already moved. But I think two totals, much more on my radar that people can bet this morning.
All right, let's start with the Sunday night game with the switch here. Let's take it away with Seattle and Arizona, please.
So huge number at 56 right now. It's kind of trending back towards 55.5, but regardless, a huge number. And these big numbers in the high 50s really haven't moved all that much up towards the over this season, just because so many people are seeing these big numbers and it's just natural within the NFL to look under. But a little bit of sort of odds making here to throw into this. When you're thinking about setting a number on an NFL game, you want to think about plays, pace, and yardage, right? If there's more plays and there's higher pace, there's going to be more yardage, more chance to score. The average play count for a game in the NFL is about 122. Seahawks games this season have averaged 137. Ooh. Cardinals have averaged 134. And these teams have played into games individually that have both gone into the 150s for play count. So both of these teams putting up a ton of plays, giving a ton of potential for yardage. And when you use sort of the averages in the NFL, usually you're looking at about 5.5 yards per play and about 14 to 15 yards per point. So you can just take plays, multiply it by the yards per play, and then you can divide by yards per point to get an expected total. If you just use NFL averages so far this season in this game, on 133 plays, which these two teams are playing to, you're looking at a total right around 53.5. The kicker in all of this is that both of these teams are north of 6 yards per play, and they're scoring at an average of 13 yards per point. So just using their averages so far this season, you're getting a projected total right around 62. So when I'm looking at betting totals in the NFL, I always want sort of a low, mid, and a high. And the mid here is right around the total we're seeing at 55. And the high range here is well into the 60s. And then you can sort of get subjective on top of that. And I think the Arizona defense is really, really phony. Their numbers, they say they're 10th in EPA per play, 11th in EPA per pass, 10th against the rush. But they've played just one opponent that's above average in offensive efficiency. That was Carolina. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers hung 31 points on them. And you look at the best defensive performances, they've played Haskins. They've played Flacco. They've played Dalton on Monday night, like we just talked about. And they're benefiting from just a really weak schedule. Now they get Seattle, number one in offensive efficiency. So how's that going to look? Now Chandler Jones, the first game we'll really see his lack of pass rush on the defensive line for a Cardinals team that isn't generating any pressure whatsoever. And the Seattle defense, very much in the same boat. Through 6 weeks, the Seahawks have played the fifth easiest schedule of opposing defenses and sixth easiest schedule of opposing pass offenses. They're 28th in overall defensive efficiency and 24th defending the pass. Jamal Adams unlikely to play. Quentin Dunbar not 100%. I think this is a back-and-forth game for both teams. First spot we'll really see for Arizona all season, where they could have the potential to get in the shootout. Tons of pace, tons of plays, tons of opportunities for points. I think this one goes way over the total.
Hey, Adam, Bruce here. I want to ask you about this Cleveland-Cincinnati game. And we haven't gotten to it yet here. We'll talk about it more in a minute, I'm sure. But the way the Browns really got flattened last week, and we've seen a very fragile psyche on this team the last couple of years, and Baker in particular. And there's some talk even there about, you know, getting Case Keenum ready to go. And Cincinnati's been close, and they're just not quite getting over the hump. But this is an interesting number and an interesting game, and I wonder what your thoughts are. Cleveland at Cincy on Sunday.
So these two teams played back on Thursday night, whichever that was, week two, week three. And that game was dominated by the Browns. The Bengals got the cover, but the Browns outgained the Bengals. Off the top of my head, Cleveland put up about 50 more total yards on 30 fewer plays than the Bengals ran in that game. Dominated yards per play. So it wasn't particularly close. In that game, Browns closed right around the 5.5, 6-point favorite. This game opened 4. The look ahead was a little bit higher, and we've seen money come down against Cleveland. So I think it's a pretty clear reaction to what we saw last week for the Browns against Pittsburgh. But in studio with Mitch and Pauly last week, we were talking about how the key for handicapping this Browns team, specifically Baker Mayfield, is the pressure that opponents can generate. Pittsburgh, obviously, best in the league at generating pressure. We saw Mayfield really, really struggle. He was dealing with some injury issues too, ultimately taken out of the game. But the Steelers, very good at stopping the run as well. Best in the league at that mark too. So that's really been the staple of the Cleveland offense. This week, it's a complete turnaround for the Browns against the Bengals. Cincinnati, among the worst 3 teams in the league at generating pressure. DJ Reader was lost a couple of weeks ago from that defensive line. He's the best run stopper. And there's a lot of uncertainty between Atkins and Dunlap, who are rumored to be on the trade market too. So they did not practice on Wednesday, but I think there's a little bit more to that, necessarily not so much a rest day, but perhaps sort of a disagreement day if you're reading some of the interviews. So this is a defensive line now without their best run stopper, can't generate pressure, and maybe there's a little more to that as well. So if I had to look to a side here, I'd definitely be looking Cleveland at a -3.
And the over, perhaps, is that, would the over be on your radar too?
Not anything catching my eye on the total on this one. But I like the side a little bit more for sure.
Yep.
Follow the Money, Paulie and Bruce Marshall, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Adam Chernoff, our guest on every Friday. Follow him on Twitter. Listen to the Simple Handicap podcast. All right, another total. We were talking about this before you came on. I'm concerned about where Houston's at mentally. They can't stop anything to begin with. Not, by the way, Jacksonville moved it on them too. But they had two missed field goals, and they had a turnover in the red zone. But giving up 170 rushing yards per game and 440 per game. They're 1-5. Packers great off a loss, ATS. What do you think of Green Bay and Houston?
Yeah, I'm going to go over another huge number here. And like I said, these totals haven't been moving up when they're at the high point of this range. And we've seen this move up from 56 to 57. So it's the first one of these high totals all season that's been bet up. And like you hinted to, it's for good reason. Houston dead last in EPA per play overall, 28th against the pass, 31st against the rush. They've played three teams that are top 10 in offensive efficiency. They've allowed 104 points in those three games. Green Bay, fourth. So it's not getting any easier for them in this situation. But the Packers' defense is almost as bad. 25th in EPA per play, 21st against the pass, 25th against the rush. They've played two teams as well inside the top 10 for offensive efficiency. They've allowed 38 and 34 in those games. So more than 70 points allowed to those two opponents. Houston, eighth in offensive efficiency. So it's not getting any easier for them as well. But I still think the market's potentially a little slow to react to the Houston offense that's been suppressed by their schedule weeks 1-4. All four of the opponents above average in defensive efficiency. As difficult of a 4 weeks as a team can have to open the season. Last 2 weeks, they finally get a reprieve in that regard. They face teams ranked 32nd and 22nd, and Houston has scored 66 points in those two games. So now they're getting a very easy opponent in Green Bay, their second easiest to date this season, next to Jacksonville. Green Bay has been able to score against everyone. I don't know what's stopping them this week against Houston, their easiest opponent from a defensive efficiency standpoint. Both of the quarterbacks top five when they're throwing from a clean pocket, and neither of these teams are generating any pressure with any sustained rate. So this is a spot where it's another high total, but when you're looking at the offensive output for these teams, which I still think for Houston is a little bit suppressed by schedule, this offense is a bit better than it's getting credit for, which is a weird thing to say because this total's so high, but I do think that this number is deserving of a higher mark, and I do think we might see it continue to tick up as it already has throughout the week. Have to go over this high total again in this spot.
Great analysis. Thanks for coming in studio last week, and we hope to see you soon. Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games this week.
All right. See you, Adam.
Got to follow him on Twitter and listen to his podcast as well, The Simple Handicap. Adam Chernoff. You know, that is a good game, and it's a big game with the Bengals and the Browns, and now it's at 3. And it was 35-30 week two. So they had 220 yards of offense against Pittsburgh. It was ugly. I mean, they go for it, backed up in their own 20 and don't get it. And then that was all she wrote. If they win this game, they go to 5-2. They still have Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Giants on the schedule. So they're going to make the playoffs if they win this game. Landry's banged up. But, you know, that was – so that's 21-0 on Sunday at Indy. And then since he doesn't, they go no points on 6 of the last 7 drives and only score 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that one almost bothers me more than the Houston. I mean, the way they kicked that lead away. But, I mean, they have been, except for the Baltimore game, I mean, they've been in all these games. And Burrow now is more than a month beyond that game in week 2. He's getting better. They still could have won that game last week. I mean, I think you're seeing Cincinnati be very, very competitive here. And there's another thing, the psyche of the Browns. We've seen this before.
Yes.
And Baker.
Oh,
I hate it.
They asked Mayfield. He goes, it feels like we're 0-6.
Yeah. You don't know what you're getting. And it when it goes bad with these guys, it goes bad. They're on the road again this week. You know, I'm not that bull. I would not be that bullish on the Browns.
Good thoughts there. Okay. How about the Bills and the Jets?
Is
this one? Okay, you've seen it all. You're bringing up stuff from 1972. How bad is this Jets team?
Ooh, well, they're bad. They're bad. I think it's funny. I've heard Phil Murphy and Andrew Cuomo, the two governors there, having a jurisdictional tug of war to see who could put a lockdown on the Jets season because they might need it. It depends if Darnold comes in or if it's Flacco, and he just has no mobility whatsoever. Buffalo has had some problems defensively. I don't think they're going to be exposed this week, though. I don't know if Trey White's going to be back in there. Milani's been hurt, too, and it has hurt them. Their numbers are way, way down defensively this year. But I can't make a case for the Jets, Paulie, and they look as bad as any team I've seen. So it's Buffalo, I think.
Darnold questionable, Crowder questionable, White questionable. You're right. This Bills defense. Yikes.
Not good.
It's been rough. Exactly right. We'll get to top bottom in the NFL. We'll get to some of Bruce's thoughts on Survivor with the percentages. And then all his soccer picks in 9 minutes. Still to come, Chuck Edel and UFC picks with you, Lou Finocchiaro. All that straight ahead. Follow the money. Bruce pitch hitting for Mitch. We'll be back Monday. VSiP, the Sports Betting Network. Faster way to win. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with code VSIN250 to get 100% deposit match up to 250. Must be present in New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, and must be 21. 1-800-GAMBLER if you're in New Jersey or Illinois. PointsBet, faster way to win. Top bottom NFL. Pittsburgh, Seattle, Denver, Green Bay, and the Chargers 4-1 ATS. Dallas and the Jets 0-6 ATS. Houston 1-5 ATS. Nolens 5-0 to the over. The Raiders are 5-0 to the over. Tennessee's 4-1 and Buffalo's 5-1 to the over. Arizona's 6-0 to the under. Baltimore, Carolina, and Kansas City 4-2 to the under. I'll ask you. Survivor now. It's tough. I know a guy, our buddy in New Hampshire, I'm in the one of the Circa contests with. He had, at DraftKings, he had four entries left in Survivor. He used three on the Eagles. Squeaky bum time. But he gets there. And I like the Eagles a lot, too. But that was a weird game. Imagine he moves on. He had three of his four entries on the Eagles yesterday.
Wow. He wasn't watching. He wasn't watching the debate last night. He was watching.
That's right. Bills. If you have the Bills available, you got to use the Bills, right?
Yeah. You got to go against the Jets.
It's a horrible outfit. You're right.
Yeah.
So you got the Bills number one based on percentages, and then the Chiefs. And again, they've won 9 in a row against Denver, and Andy Reid has been awesome in the division.
Yeah.
Although they got beat at home against the Raiders, but he is on a 17-4 run in road division games. What do you think of the other ones here? I'm with you. I don't trust the Chargers at all. I don't want the Chargers in there.
I don't know if I want the Saints either. I wouldn't go all the way from 3 through 7. I'd be really, well, 6 obviously got in there already, but the other ones I'd be a little leery about. I think Seattle's a little bit too low. The way they've been able to win down there, some of the stuff Adam Chernoff talked about, I think that makes some sense about Seattle. So I could see the Seattle there, but I think there's really only two this weekend. It's the Bills and the Chiefs. And either of those two, I think you'd be fine, especially the Bills. The Jets are just making it. Listen, they're lucky. If they were playing soccer in Italy, they'd be relegated to Serie B.
Yeah.
They should be relegated. So the Bills definitely would be the number one.
All the listeners and viewers are right. You keep Gase so you can make sure you get the number one pick and get Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's how bad it's been.
Yeah, unless Lawrence says, I don't want to play for you. And then we'll see. But no,
I agree.
Yeah, they'll keep. I think they'll keep him. If they haven't fired him yet, you know.
We'll do these coming up. Next head coach fired, Gase 2-3.
Yeah.
Then it's Marone. Then it's Patricia, Lynn. Patricia 11-2, Lynn 15-2, Zimmer 15-2. McCarthy 20-1. Come on. Well, you're running out of Belichick's 500-1. I mean, that's hilarious that he's on the list. So there, you know, Tampa's, that's an interesting game now with what's going on with the Raiders.
Yeah.
But those are you were right. Those are tough. Once you get past four.
Paulie, I
could see the Bears winning Monday night too.
Paulie, I was just going to bring that up. I just don't see the Rams being that much of a sure thing this week. I mean, the Bears keep pulling games out. The Rams have been exposed. I mean, listen, the Rams are 4-0 against the NFC East. I mean, so there's a suggestion here. The Rams might be a bit overrated, but the Bears, all they do is keep winning this year. So I don't see that the Rams should be up there that strongly. I think Seattle's got a better chance to win this week than the Rams. I really do. But 3-4 Saints Chargers. I'm too scared of those two.
I would take the Saints over the Chargers. I think Carolina's got a shot, but I just, as we said,
close.
We lived out here for 20 years. This is the game the Chargers lose. They lose. How about so now Marone was talking about maybe he could bench Minshew. He said that as well. Which, come on, you're giving up 30 points a game. That's the other thing.
He could be in trouble. Because we knew coming into the season, I mean, he's just a little bit behind Dan Quinn and Dimitroff from Atlanta, and Caldwell, his GM there. The Mustache Man did not fight. They got rid of Coughlin last year. They made him the scapegoat. That became untenable with all the stuff going on there. But Marone and Caldwell, a lot of people thought those guys were gone as well. So Shad Khan, I don't think he's got much more patience there. And if this thing gets away from the Jags, he might make a move. Although they would think they could be in the Trevor Lawrence Derby too, so maybe they want to keep on losing as well. At least management would like them to do that. But Marone's in big trouble.
All right, Bruce will run down the soccer card. A ton of soccer picks coming up. A good Premier League. There's a good game today with Villa and Leeds, and a good weekend in the Premier League. Bruce will run it all down. We have the World Series Game 3 props up and the line with good props at William Hill, and more thoughts on that coming up, and then some good props from the NFL as well, globally. And then Chuck Edel and Lou still to come as well, and a lot of NFL. All that straight ahead, VSiN, follow the money. Sportsbook has special offers on all the big events this weekend, including the World Series profit boost with two 25% profit boosts tonight and every day of the World Series, UFC specials. And when you wager at least $254 on UFC 254, get a $54 free bet. Profit boost Sundays, 50% profit boost to use on one NFL game when you log in to the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app on Sundays. How about that? The turnover insurance last night, incredible. And 250 different ways to bet these NFL games. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. All right. We got Villa and Leeds today. There's four games Saturday. I believe there's four Sunday. Nigel's got the bet cast for the Man U match coming up Saturday at 12:30 Eastern. They're strong. What are they, 15th in the table?
Yeah.
My God, Man U.
Solskjaer needed that win against PSG this week. Really needed that win. Because the pressure was building on him.
All right. What do you think? Take it away.
Well, we got Villa and Leeds today. I think Villa, listen, they're the only team in the EPL with 100% mark thus far. They've won all four. After tonight, they're going to be in first place, I think. I mean, Everton's in first now. They got a game in hand over Villa. Great move in the Ollie Watkins signed him from Brentford. He was a championship player of the year last year. 26 goals at Brentford. He's already got three here. Grealish is a guy who's borderline into the England lineup, the national team. Martinez, the goalie, comes over from Arsenal, and he is now getting to play, and he's looking really good. And the best player in Leeds, Calvin Phillips, is probably going to be out here. I think Villa looks really good here. Plus 112, sure. I think they go to 5-0 Aston Villa. Definitely on that one. The other game today is in the championship. We got Nottingham Forest today against Derby, and both of these sides are really struggling. 20th and 22nd, respectively, in the table. This has draw written all over it, Paulie. Maybe nil-nil, so I would go the draw price.
Oh, yeah? That one. Yeah? All right. Love it. One of the only guys on TV and radio to give out draws.
Well,
Brucey, very good.
I got a few more here.
Okay,
now, Saturday, we got this game, West Ham and Man U. Man City, I'm sorry. City got back in gear this past week. They beat Arsenal. They beat Porto in midweek after a little bit of a bumpy ride there. David Moyes, the manager at West Ham, has never beaten Pep Guardiola. West Ham came back from a 0-3 to draw Spurs earlier this week.
How about that? Yeah. In the second half?
Yeah. I mean, that was something. But they're leaking some goals here. I think this gets over the total here with 3.5 goals, not high enough. This is going to go over. That's a pretty heavy price on City.
That's 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific to start Saturday.
Early kickoff on Saturday. So I'd look over in that one. Now, I might go another draw here. Fulham and Palace are playing on Saturday. Fulham is really struggling. They're sitting on one point. I could go draw here, or I might look at under. I mean, this looks like a 0-0, maybe a 1-1. Palace had only one shot on goal against Brighton last week, one. They're just not forcing a lot of action offensively. Both these teams are kind of, Fulham's really been struggling, though. They did get a point last week. So I could see a draw in that one. Man U and Chelsea, this is usually a featured match. We talked about Solskjaer a second ago. He had to get that win against PSG. The pressure was building. But like you said, Paulie, that was not an EPL game. It was a Champions League game, and he is sitting 15th in the table. I think there's some value on Chelsea here. They haven't gotten Timo Werner going too much yet. The score they brought in from Leipzig over the summer, but you know that he's very capable. He does have a couple of goals thus far. And I think Frank Lampard's side could get a result here. They didn't get anything against Sevilla at midweek, 0-0. I think they might be worth a look at that price against Man U. And then we got Liverpool and Sheffield United.
Oh, they're awful.
Yeah.
One point. They have two goals on the season or something?
They are just sitting down there terribly right now. The thing is, you might find a goal line price here. A spread price in Liverpool you might want to take a look at. But I don't think Sheffield United is going to score, even though Virgil van Dijk is out for Liverpool. That's a bad absence for them. These are defensive linchpin back there. But I think an under here might be worth a look. It looks like a 2-0, 3-0 to Liverpool for me. One more this weekend. It's Barcelona, Real Madrid, El Clásico in the Camp Nou. But Madrid, Real Madrid off back-to-back losses. Cadiz and Shakhtar midweek.
What happened? 15-1.
Yeah.
They were 15-1 to win that.
And that was 3-0 in that game at one point before they came back. Now they've got to go to the Camp Nou. Looks like Barcelona might have straightened some things out a little bit here. Messi, there is some stuff still going on there, so watch after this season what goes on. But right now, they've got a sharper edge than Real Madrid right now, and I think that's a good price on Barcelona. So I would go for the Azulgrana this weekend, take Barcelona at that price.
Okay, I like that. Is it West Brom Monday? Where'd it go? Yeah, West Brom and Brighton. I like that under Monday at 10:30 Pacific. And just going back and looking at some of this. Monday, 1-0 and 0-0. And then the four matches Sunday, 1-1, 1-1, 1-0, and then the Tottenham debacle. Yeah. So we've seen a big underrun here in the Premier League lately.
We have.
And, you know, the other thing is I'm a casual fan, but you watch this stuff and the guys on NBA, who the hell knows what a goal is anymore? With the VAR?
Liverpool.
Play. Yeah.
I mean,
they're losing their minds. The announcers and the coaches, managers.
I mean, it's worse than the NHL doing it, which is fine. I mean, the VAR is now taking over the game, and a lot of people don't like it over there. A lot of people don't like it. So they get it wrong sometimes, even on VAR, I think. So there we go.
Yeah. There's some bad outfits here this year. What's happened when you look at the table?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Sheffield, that was a good call by Nigel. He thought they'd be, if not relegated, he had that prop. Leeds would finish ahead of Sheffield United. They have one point. Fulham has one point. Burnley has one point. West Brom has two. Again, United, disaster, sitting in 15th place.
Yeah.
What's wrong with City? City only has – City's in 12th. Yeah. Or no, 11th.
Well, they started off a little bit slow, but I think this past week they finally got into gear a little bit. That was a nice win over Porto, and they beat Arsenal before that. So I think Pep's got them in the right gear.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Leeds.
Leeds is going to be safe for sure. They're going to stay up for many years. Bielsa's an outstanding coach. They should have been up last year. They will stick this year. But you can already tell how the relegation fight is going there. Fulham's in some trouble again.
Uh-huh.
Sheffield United in real trouble right now.
They started the season with the loss at Liverpool 4-3.
Yeah,
that was impressive what they did. The battle back and almost win that and score three times against Liverpool. Beat Fulham. Shut out Sheffield United. The draw, so they already played Liverpool and City. They had the draw against City and then got beat Monday 1-0 by Wolverhampton. By the way, Nigel loves Wolverhampton Sunday. That was one of his Premier League picks that he gave out yesterday. And Nigel's been on fire, but he likes the Wolves.
Good to me.
On that one, too.
I like them, too. Yep.
NFL props, World Series Game 3 preview, and a ton of creative props at William Hill coming up on the game tonight. And Bruce has an interesting take on Game 3 and the rest of the series as well. We'll get to that. We'll run down everything in the NFL in 20 minutes. And then Chuck, with his picks, 6-1 last week, and Lou Finocchiaro on the UFC card. And in pocket, all that coming up. Follow the money. VSiN, Pauly, Bruce Marshall. Site, oddstrader.com. Thanks to Alexander. Winners are made there. They do the hard work for you. All handicapping tools in one place. A free service dedicated to helping sports fans beat the books. Sign up for an account today. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. Huge. That's awesome. In-game tracking tools. Live in-game odds and stats. Love the site. Check it out today. Oddstrader.com. Game 3 World Series. Buehler against Morton. Dodgers a small favorite. We'll call out $1.50, 7.5 the total. We'll run down all the props coming up, see what Bruce thinks. But Bruce made an interesting point earlier, and I think I'd agree. I think you make a great case here for the Rays. Now, if the Dodgers lose, it's squeaky bum time, and then it's here we go again, because all they hear about is 88, 88, 88. But with Buehler going here, you look at his game log, 6 innings, 5 innings, 4 innings, 4 innings, 4 innings. Who do you trust now? Because Urias goes tomorrow, and they used a ton of guys in game 2. There's no way you want to see Ginger Guard. You're not going to see Gosselin or these other guys. I mean, what if you only get 5 innings out of Buehler? What happens? And Morton has been great here the last 3 times out. I'm with you. Dodgers, this could decide the series. I'm with you. If the Dodgers win, they probably win the series. If they lose, they're up against it.
One other development in game 2. Brandon Lau had been doing nothing
right. All
postseason, absolutely nothing. And all of a sudden, and he erupted. He had the big night the other night. He is capable of carrying this offense. And they haven't had that thus far in the postseason up until game 2 the other night. So if he is really back doing what he did during the regular season, that's a big plus for Tampa Bay. I mean, this team is very efficient the way they can bunch runs together like that, but they've been doing that without their main run producer contributing much. All of a sudden, it looks like he might be getting back in gear. So that's a plus in Tampa Bay's favor, and they would certainly have momentum if they could carry this through tonight. And Morton has been outstanding, like you said. So I don't know that there is much edge at all for Buehler over Morton tonight. Not at all. And the bullpen, I'd rather have Tampa Bay. And that extra day of rest now, that's important. They didn't have that in the championship
series.
You got an extra day off here, and so the bullpen is very rested for Tampa Bay.
So how about if the series is tied at 2 and then Sunday? All your points are fair. I have the same feeling on Glasnow. But what if can Kershaw do it again?
That would be pushing it for the Dodgers. And I'll tell you what Cash would probably do. I mean, he would treat that almost like a bullpen game with Glasnow. He would lower and like, okay, 3. He was good. He was okay for 3 innings.
Because he got Snell in 6 and Morton in 7.
Right. So he may treat that as a semi-bullpen opener game with Glasnow in game 5. But that's why this game is extremely important tonight. And Tampa Bay would love to still be in this series with Snell and Morton going in 6 and 7. So if they can beat Buehler tonight, I think psychologically that would be a big boost for the Rays and a big blow the other way for the Dodgers.
At William Hill, will there be a score in the first inning? No 140. The Dodgers are $2 to score first. Tampa plus 175. Team to score last, $1.10. First home run, Dodgers minus 175. First pitch of the game, strike minus 180. Call Al Leiter, as Mitch would say. What if someone wants to bet $500,000 on that? That rant by Al Leiter was out of his mind. 180. Will the first pitch be a strike?
Wow.
That is good.
Okay. That's Morton tonight.
Will Mookie hit a home run? Yes, plus 350. Bellinger's plus 340. Lau's plus 360. Strikeouts for Buehler, 7. Morton's 5.5. And I like these here. Will there be a wild pitch? No minus 135. There was one in game one. We didn't have one in game two. Will there be a hit by pitch? Yes, plus 135. Double plays over under 1.5, over minus 180. I think that's cash in both games.
Yep.
Left on base, 12.5. Will the game go to extra innings? Yes, plus 350. Will there be a triple? Yes, plus 380.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Unique. Lots of stuff.
That is good. A lot of fun. All those up at William Hill. And then we know the sick menu at Bet Rivers as well. And the one that cashed game one. Will Mookie hit a home run and will they win the game? Yes, was 5-1. Global props. Will the Patriots have a winning 2020 regular season? Yes, $2. The last year the Patriots did not have a winning season was 2000. It was the first season under Hoodie and they went 5-11.
Yeah.
You think so? Big one Sunday.
I would, yeah. They still have to play the Jets twice. They haven't played the Jets yet. And they haven't played Buffalo yet. And that's this year tough, but they have had Buffalo's number over the last 17 years or so. Because it's Belichick, I still might be inclined to look at yes, but I'm not sure there's a lot of value laying 200 in that. So maybe I just pass.
Well, they get to 10 wins. Yes, 2-1. The last year the Patriots did not have 10 wins was 2002. They were 9-7 and missed the playoffs.
Yep.
What was it? One year they went 11-5 and missed the playoffs.
You know, wait, that's the year Brady got hurt.
Yeah.
The Matt Corral year. It's not the same team. No. We know not just Brady. I mean, all the guys who opted out on defense and some of the stuff, the COVID stuff, it's not the same team this year. So I think 10 is very, I don't know that I'd waste.
This is intriguing, and I got involved with one of these. Before last night, total regular season wins by the NFC East, 22.5. They now have 6 with what someone had to win the game. Total wins for the NFC East winner, 6.5. I got 7.5 under plus money yesterday.
No, that's good.
Although they moved the line without taking a bet, which is dirty pool.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. So, and I would have been dancing in the streets if the Eagles lose that game and then they beat Dallas, I mean, that ticket was in. Since the NFL went to a 16-game season, there have been 2 division winners with 7 wins. The Panthers in 2014 and the Seahawks in 2010. And they both won a home playoff game, which, again, Bruce, come on. I hate to keep repeating myself. Goodell has to convince the owners, stop with this. This is embarrassing. What 6 wins might do this. You can't give them a home game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
I know. Yeah, it is a little bit crazy. However, I mean, that's the rule is the rule here. So, I mean, you know, it keeps the interest in the division races some. I know what you're saying. But I think the home field in the playoffs should be going by record, maybe. If you win the division, okay, you can get in, but you don't necessarily get the fourth seed just because you're under 500 and you win the division.
How do you feel about that? I know a lot of places move on air, and Matt Lindemann gave a long discussion on that, too. I could see you look at the screen, oh, we're off a couple points on this game. Okay, fine. But to be at the counter and you without taking a bet, you say, hey, give me this for 2,000, and they move the number on you?
That's not good.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah.
No.
Okay, will the Cowboys trail by at least 10 points at some point in Week 7? Yes, plus 140. Dallas has trailed by at least 10 points in each of their last 5 games.
Yeah.
Will the Cardinals go 4-0 against the NFC East like the Rams? Yes, even money. Will the Seahawks go 4-0 against the East? That's plus 120. Will the Jets get shut out again? Yes, plus 175. Will they get shut out this week? Yes, 9-1. Here we go, Bruce. You said they're off. One of the worst you've ever seen. Will they go 0-16? Plus 350, 325, 3-1, depends where you shop. I think it was last week was plus 750.
Yeah.
If they're going to get a win?
I might bet the yes on that. Because especially since it looks like they're going to keep Gaze around, and it's just not getting any better. If Darnold gets hurt, I think he's their only chance. If Flacco has to play, they have no chance whatsoever. So I think that's possible. I mean, they're almost halfway there now. You know, I know it's only one gets you beat, but it's they look a lot worse than the Lions did in 2008. A lot worse.
Well, not even close.
Not even close.
They were competitive.
Lions were
they
competitive.
They were close.
Yeah.
They went to Indy and almost beat Peyton Manning.
They were competitive. Yeah. They were competitive.
They were an ATS machine down the stretch.
Sure. They covered a lot
Good
of
point.
Games. No
Good
comparison
point.
Between
them. No, right. 0-6 ATS. Yes.
Yeah.
Will there be another 16-point-plus comeback in Week 7? All 6 weeks, there's been a team that trailed by 16 or more and they came back to win the game.
That's the craziest stat of the year.
That is. Yes, plus 150. That is nuts.
That is nuts. Yeah. You know, I would say probably no. There's no value betting that minus 200, so
right.
I think I just passed. But that's the craziest stat of the year.
Team to sign Antonio Brown. Seattle favored. Baltimore 5-1. Packers 7-1. 49ers 8-1. Tennessee 9-1. Saints 12-1. Next head coach fired. Gase 2-3. Marone 12-5. Patricia 11-2. And then Lynn, Zimmer, and McCarthy. Well, Clemson is 1-10 to win the ACC. Bama's $4. To win the SEC. What do you think of this? Now, it hasn't been pretty the last couple of weeks. I actually think they could be on upset alert and Pitt could get them. But Notre Dame does host Clemson at home.
Watch the Steelers and watch Chase Claypool. And then think, this was the guy who was stretching the field for Ian Book last year. They don't have that this year. They're not throwing the ball downfield. And I think they could be in trouble, even if the redshirt freshman Yellen goes at quarterback for Pitt. Which looks like the case this week. Pitt's got a real defense, and Notre Dame hasn't really played a great defense yet. And I can't believe they only scored 12 against Louisville last week. What was up with that? Louisville's
How
defense
does that
have been bad. I don't know what happened in that game. That was really weird. But that's part of what the problem is. They don't throw the ball downfield that well, and that's why I think they may have some trouble this week. And that's another reason Clemson's 1-10, because nobody has any faith. Notre Dame looks like the second-best team in this year's ACC. They don't look like they can beat Clemson. They're going to get a shot in a couple weeks, but no.
Playing 46 in a conference game, man.
Any takers for Syracuse?
Yeah, right. What do you think of the move on Florida State?
Yeah, I like Florida State this week. Yeah, I think the number was too high early. So yeah,
that was a weird game.
Yeah,
31-7 at the half.
Yeah,
Carolina shuts them out.
Yeah,
and then they have back-to-back-to-back drops on the final drive.
They could have pulled that game out, but Florida State played better the week before against Notre Dame, too. So it looks like Norvell knows what he's doing.
Okay. Rapid fire NFL Week 7 coming up. Great trends from Point Spread Weekly. And then because of the schedule today with Lou at the bottom of the hour, and Bruce has got so much college football as well, we'll do In Pocket in about 15 minutes. And Chuck Edel to close the show. 6-1 last week. Follow the money, VSiN, baby. Bruce in for Mitch Moss, who's back Monday. Hardcore NFL next.